This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Why are we seeing the interest rates have gone higher? It's because of the concerns in the fiscal. There's a risk premium that investors are demanding, and hence the interest rates on these securities have gone higher. But as you see that there's some gradual easing, it means that even the prospects for some of these equities will be favorable. Case in point, the banking sector. One of the key things that has stuck out as a sore thumb is now the non-performing loans, the toxic loans, is precisely because the interest rates are quite high. And as we see that now interest rates are lower, at least it will be a reprieve for the underlying businesses. And those are some of the from a fundamental perspective, investors will be weighing the prospects. And now there could be like a neat shift from the fixed of the passive income and into the more risky asset classes.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Make Money, the podcast. And today, we talk about interest rates. Interest rates have been quite high over the past year, and I'm sure you have been enjoying the sweet returns on your money market funds, on your bonds, and your other investments. But unfortunately, whatever goes up will always come down. And we're here to discuss about that change in the direction of interest rates. And I'm glad to have Churchill Ogutu. I think you're a friend of the podcast by now.
Thanks, Kefa, for having me.
Yeah. And then, Churchill Ogutu is an economist, IC Asset Managers. And we'll dive straight into it. We've seen interest rates over the past year, you know, effectively climb and stay high for quite a long time. And we know what that has meant for someone investing, and their rate of return has been quite sweetened. I think if we talk about, I think there's that infrastructure bond from February we always reference, you know, this is 18.4% tax-free. Most of the money market funds, and I've been seeing people comparing, you know, I mean, money market fund A and B, and my return is maybe higher than yours at maybe 17, some at 16, 15%. Unfortunately, we know nothing always lasts forever. You know, you wouldn't expect, in a sense, interest rates to stick up high forever. And what we are seeing now is perhaps the beginning of that correction downwards. And the first question I think I would want to know, is it a phenomenon of, you know, the markets being cyclical in terms of, you know, things will go up and down always and you have to take it in stride? Is it for you that a case of that?
Yeah. Thanks, Kefa.
Yeah.
And you've hit it on the nail. It's cyclical. And yes, we are coming from an high interest rate regime, and expectations is that now the interest rates are expected to start trending lower. And if you think about it, the kind of instruments that you're talking about, money market fund, treasury bills, treasury bonds, to an extent, these are the ones which are sort of affected by the interest rates in a more direct way. Money market funds, obviously, is a passive, but a significant holdings of most of the money market funds is basically cash. By cash, I mean the fixed deposits, treasury bills, and also the fixed income instruments to an extent, so long as they are there within the 18 months or 12 months time maturity that is still remaining.
Yeah.
So that is what has played a huge role to the high interest rates that we are seeing in these instruments. And it's time, all indications are that now we should start seeing interest rates trending lower, and as they trend lower, we should also see the returns from these instruments also start to trend lower.
Yeah, and for someone holding, like you said, the money market funds will primarily invest in fixed income deposits in banks, your treasury bills, and maybe shorter term bonds. For someone perhaps who you know, is now looking at this scenario and taking it all in, that interest rates might not remain there forever. First, do you feel the environment had made it easy, you know, you could easily, you know, make 18% a year on bonds. Do you feel it made it easy? I don't know whether it's a criticism of of the asset classes we have in the country, because, you know, easily you're making 15% passively, like you noted, money market fund is very passive. You put your money there, forget about it, and you're yielding 16%. Do you feel the high interest rate environment made it quite easy for, you know, especially someone already with the money to invest? Do you feel it made it quite easy?
I think a number of things are at play here. One, the risk appetite, which is different investor to investor. Some of the investors have higher risk profile, others have low risk profile, so that's one thing. The other thing, obviously, is in the whole universe of the asset classes that are out there, you're looking at equities, you're looking at real estate, you're looking at the money market funds, you're looking at the bonds. So which one is has been more viable in the last 2 years or so? So you find that if you look at those issues in terms of the risk appetite and also looking at the other asset classes, I find that now it made sense to just get into money market funds, or just to get into the cash, the treasury bills, or the fixed income, the short end, just to lock in the return. So I think those are some of the factors that played a significant were quite significant played a significant role to what we have seen in terms of the asset allocation towards these specific products. So yes, in as much as it's a no-brainer that or what you've seen that there's been more money market funds and all that, it's just that what is from the opportunity set that is out there, these ones at least were low risk, high return. So it made more sense from investors who probably are not those sophisticated investors just to put their monies in money market funds or infrastructure bonds.
Yeah.
I would just lock in that return and then at least no hassle as compared to other asset classes.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even as interest rates come lower, yes. I think the other thing to look at is what we call a real return. I'll let you explain what the real yield is, you know, and in a sense, it's the return you get after countering inflation, you know, the changing value of money.
Yeah, yeah.
And something also important to note, even as we talk of interest rates coming down, is we are still have quite the handsome return, if I may call it so, in that we have inflation pushing lower than 5%. Mm. So even if you are at 12%, you're still getting a real return of around 7%. Maybe we would explain to someone who would be curious, what's this real return? I hear you people talking of real return or return after inflation.
Yeah.
How should we look at it? You know, if I put 1,000 shillings in an investment and it's given me 16% when inflation is 9%, but inflation comes to 5%, my return might fall to 12%, but somehow I might still be I might still actually be positive in terms of the return I'm getting. If you'd speak to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a valid question. And we've had those kind of discussions. It's been raised in different forums. And to me, how I look at it, basically investing cushions you against inflation. Whatever the asset classes, whatever the instrument you invest yourself, you invest into money market fund, treasury bills. I mean, it cushions you somewhat. If you look at inflation, the inflation we have, the latest one is for August 2024, which is the 4.4%.
Mm-hmm.
And that ideally tells you that your purchasing power or your purchasing power got eroded by 4.4% if you compare it with August last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what is telling you.
Yeah.
But I might invest in the month of September, but I'm looking at it from a forward-looking basis that I'll get, say, 18% return if I get into infrastructure bond or any of the money market yields, money market funds, which are giving us returns from 15% onwards. So that is a forward-looking basis. But now the monies I'm investing into, already if I compare to 1,000 shillings that I have right now, as compared to August last year, its purchasing power has been eroded. In more technical terms, we say that, or that comparison, the real returns in terms of if you are getting a return of 18%, And then inflation is at 4.4%. So that's right about 13.6% real return.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what you call ex post, because this is after you're looking, you're comparing the return that you'll be getting, but now with the inflation.
With the inflation right now, yeah.
So actually, in more sophisticated language, the ideal is now to compare, if you're getting a return of say 18% in 1 year, what will be your inflation? What will be the average inflation at the point to invest and 1 year down the line?
Mm-hmm.
And you look at it. So if you invest your 1,000 right now, for sure, you're getting your 18% return in September 2025.
Yeah.
But inflation in September 2025, assuming it's, say, 5%.
Yeah.
So that's from that perspective, but we'll now be able to confirm it as and when September 2025 reaches, you'll have made 13% real return from that perspective, because you are comparing the return, the time frame of the return you are getting, and mm-hmm. also the inflation during that period. Yeah. Mm. So, and now tied to that, any investment cushions you. The fact that I'm looking at it in a forward looking perspective, I have my 1,000. Obviously, 1 year down the line, the purchasing power of 1,000 will not be the same mm-hmm. as it is right now.
Yeah.
But the moment I invest, say, in a money market fund, I put it in a treasury bill, I put it in a fixed income treasury bond, and then you get your return after 1 year. And whatever the inflation during that period, obviously, yes, the purchasing power will have come lower, but now the real return, if you compare that now, okay, it's been offset by the return you've managed, at least it's a good cushion. So whatever the investment, depending on your risk profile, but at least you are able to get some positive return, it's a good cushion against inflation.
Mm-hmm, So for you, in a sense, you didn't be too worried on where the rates move, if at all. You're still getting a return above the rate of inflation. That's what I get.
I won't be worried at mm-hmm, all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
Even
mm-hmm.
if I get 1% return, I mean, it's offsetting the kind of inflation.
Yeah.
So I'm better off than somebody who just put their monies under the mattress.
Mm-hmm.
So their purchasing power at the end of the year has been eroded by inflation. But at least somebody who invested somewhere, even if you're getting 1%, it's a good offset.
Yeah.
At least it's offset.
It's better than nothing, maybe, in a sense.
But now in this regime, we know that unless, I don't know what kind of investment you're getting, at least for the purposes of the passive investing or this fixed income instruments, whereby you are sure you're getting this kind of investing, this kind of returns, at least is a good cushion for mm-hmm. people out there who are seeking at least to invest.
Yeah. Maybe coming to someone who might be, you know, realizing the rates are, you know, unwinding in a sense and coming down from where they used to be.
Yes.
Is it the time perhaps to lock it in? Maybe put your money away for a year now and not in February, if you realize the trajectory showed me that my return might be, you know, the return might be less, especially like you said, these are passive investment opportunities where you already know what you are getting in.
Yes.
And if you know it will be less in January, is it the time to decide now? You know, this is September going into October. Is it the time you decide now? Let me lock in, let me pull out that money and, you know, lock in it at 15. And, you know, inflation will always be what it will be, but at least I locked in 15, knowing it was 15 instead of waiting it to be 12, 11, or we go back to single digits.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is the time to lock in the high returns that we are seeing, in the sense that some of the underlying securities, be it in the money market funds, getting into fixed deposits, these are now the deposits that the savings rates you can get within a bank is quite attractive, but also influenced by where the current interest rate is. And that also pretty much is the case within the treasury bills and also some of the short-term treasury bonds. So it's the right time, at least right now. Obviously, we don't have a clear crystal ball, but all evidence is that we are likely to see interest rates going lower. And it's not just a Kenyan phenomena. Last month in September, the month of September,
yeah,
we saw the Fed reducing their interest rates. And globally, we've seen other developed markets are also reducing their interest rates. In the month of October, we are likely to see even the central bank following suit with lowering their benchmark rate. And that will be a signaling effect of the deposit rates in the banks, given by banks, and also the rates that we are getting in the capital markets, the treasury bills and treasury bonds. And remember that the money market funds, their bread and butter is basically these two: treasury bills, treasury bonds, deposits. So we find that even you are seeing this a likelihood of interest rates regime or interest rates having peaked at this point in time.
Yeah.
So this is the right time now to sort of invest, lock in the high returns.
Yeah.
It's a passive. You don't think about it up until now, the next cycle, as and when it matures, and then you can now be able to invest in other asset classes.
Yeah, yeah. And I know you spoke of, you know, the guiders of interest rates here being the central banks. We know the US Federal Reserve moving lower. We also know our central bank is moving lower and somehow guiding the rates lower. Do you feel if the returns fall quite low enough, like you said, there's no crystal ball to know where they stop and at what point they stop.
Yeah.
But perhaps let's use a, you know, let's create a scenario where rates are back into the single digits.
Yeah.
Do you feel this might prompt the release of some of money into other asset classes? I know places like the stock market, they've quite taken a beating from, you know, the low risk, high interest return, government securities, you know, stealing the show and being the game in town. Do you foresee a scenario where now, you know, if it's careful with $100,000 in a money market fund, they might decide the return maybe has come down to single digits, you know, over time, and you feel there's more prospect in another asset class? Do you feel guys like myself and others observing this might be okay, maybe this is the time to look elsewhere, like why else can I actually push a higher return? Or is it the, might we just take comfort in, it might come down to 9%, it's still positive in terms of where inflation is, but it's easy, like you noted, it's low risk. Would you see an asset, you know, portfolio movements between asset classes being brought about by the lower interest rates?
Well, a valid question that you've put out. And if I look at it this way, 2 years ago, we could see the rates, at least in the upper single-digit level, the lower double-digit level. By that, I mean the treasury bills were 7%, 8%, they're about 9% on the higher side, whereas the income, basically, that you could get from treasury bonds, it was around 12%. If it went higher, it was around 13%. So at least based on the issues that came out around 2022, thereabouts. So as it is right now, that is the anchor that we are looking at. So depending on how long or how fast there could be this unwinding of the interest rates, that's pretty much the kind of returns that investors should be looking at, even if they're looking at the money market funds from highs of 15%, could go to 9%, 9%, 12%, thereabout, depending also on the pace of the easing. But if you sort of cast your nets widely, you see, because, say, an asset class such as equities or the stocks investing at the Nairobi Securities Exchange, in terms of what you call the valuations, because you have to look at the prospects, what are the prospects of these companies? And one of the key inputs that people will look at is now the cost of equity, which is primarily derived from even the cost of the benchmark is a 10-year yield. So as interest rates go lower and you start looking at the prospects, the valuations, you find that it's more appealing, because unlike looking at valuing it at around 16%, like that's the risk-free rate, it has come lower from the 16% 10-year, probably it comes lower to around 12% thereabout. So it makes that the valuations of stocks are quite attractive, for instance. And also the optics, why are we seeing the interest rates have gone higher? It's because of the concerns in the fiscal. It's because of there's a risk premium that investors are demanding, and hence the interest rates on these securities have gone higher. But as you see that there's some gradual easing, it means that even the prospects for some of these equities will be favorable. Case in point, the banking sector. Mm-hmm. One of the key things that has stuck out as a sore thumb is now the non-performing loans, the toxic loans, is precisely because the interest rates are quite high. And as we see that now interest rates are lower, at least it will be a reprieve for the underlying businesses. And those are some of the from a fundamental perspective, investors will be weighing the prospects. And now there could be like a neat shift from the fixed of the passive income and into the more risky asset classes, such as equities. Earlier, as we mentioned, all along, if you're investing into, say, the money market funds, I mean, at the base of it is a low risk. The only return you are getting is basically that sort of the income return, the one that you lock in.
Yeah.
But if you look at some of the other asset classes, over and above the income return that we're talking about, we also have the capital gains, prospects around capital gains. If you buy into a stock right now, say whatever, Safaricom is at 20 shillings, for instance, there's a prospect you can go to 30 shillings. Mm-hmm. So that's a 50% capital gain.
Yeah.
So over and above, you're not, probably you can get the dividends, yes, but over and above that, you also have the prospects of capital gains because of the underlying prospects. So it's quite appealing also to venture or to diversify into other asset classes at this point in time. So yes, it's a nice offsetting balancing act.
All right. And as we wind up, I would like, I like you mentioned, you have no crystal ball to where interest rates go. But perhaps if the reset is happening, and we've seen it happening, you know, from the data we have.
Yes.
Perhaps if we can make an attempt at it, how low does the reset, be? And perhaps where would you expect, you know, at the beginning of 2025 interest rates to be? And, you know, how might, you know, investors be reacting to that in terms of their portfolio allocations for you?
Well, so let me look at it from a high-level perspective. And two things come up. One is basically, where were we during the last 5 years? The interest rates, we were at around 7%. This was basically during COVID period. So that was quite accommodative policy stance that happened. And then right after that, we had the inflation risk. And as a result of that, because our central bank's mandate is basically to tackle the price stability. So that's why it has increased the interest rates to as high as 13%. So from an anchoring perspective, I'm seeing that they could unwind up until 7%. It may not be just in one. How many? We just have two. MPC meetings or the central bank meetings that decide on the benchmark rates, at least this year.
Yeah.
So you may not see that in the two meetings that are still remaining this year, they could now completely take us back to 7%. It will be a gradual process. Probably I'm seeing on the more extreme side, 10%. The benchmark rate will be at 10%. A less aggressive, I'm looking at it at around 11.5%. So between 10% to 11.5%, that's where the benchmark rate will be.
Yeah.
So that means that from where it is currently, we are seeing roughly 2 percentage points decline in the, at least in the this signaling rate, which will also determine the extent where the securities or where the money market funds invest into. On the other side also, secondly, basically what's happening on the fiscal. As it is right now, one of the factors that leads or dictates where the interest rates is also the level of borrowing from the domestic market, leave alone the external market, but now from the domestic market. At the point whereby the budget was being approved, we are looking at around 260 billion shillings to be borrowed in the current financial year. We started in July all the way to June. After the supplementary one, it was, we're looking at 413 billion. But there could be some, tweaks along the way.
Yeah.
We've had these indications that there could be a supplementary two, second supplementary two.
Yeah.
And also depending on how the revenue outturns is, you find that domestic borrowing sorts of does some of the heavy lifting from the borrowing side.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on the adjustments that we're likely to see in the course of this financial year on the borrowing target,
yeah,
it will also dictate where the rates are. I mean, rates, in as much as we are seeing central bank from a signaling perspective, we are expecting it to reduce their interest rates, but the market may not be entirely convinced with that because they are also monitoring the fiscal side.
Yeah.
So those are some of the issues that might that is clouding my so-called crystal ball.
Bit of mist on the crystal ball, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But as it is, I think on the baseline, the rates are expected to trend lower. So the highs of 15%, 18%, so the listeners who are listening to us, at least, this is the opportune time to lock in these rates.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, just to close it off, yeah, for someone listening to this, there's a lot to take in, you know, a lot of moving parts to interest rates and the direction of it.
Yeah.
For those not able to lock in the return now, and, you know, like you mentioned, if we are to go back to the 9 and 10% on the low risk assets or investment classes, do you still feel that's solid enough in a sense? You're still, I like what you said, you're still beating inflation, you're not putting your money under the mattress. So in a sense, you're still getting a return, you're still offsetting, you know, your money is still, in a sense, preserving its purchasing power, in a sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have to do something, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Some of the entry, some of the entry requirements into, say, treasury bills, treasury bonds might be quite prohibitive or on the higher side to a typical Kenyan.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about 50,000 shillings. So it may be on the higher side, but you can start even with the money market funds. I've seen some of them as low as 500 shillings. So it's a way that it helps you to be a bit more disciplined. So rather than putting your money and truth be told, you can't be saving under the mattress because things might crop up and you are tempted to dip into the savings.
Dip into the same mattress,
it's,
yeah.
It's quite easier to it's quite ease of reach. But if you get into at least the money market funds and it you require that discipline, you have some goals that you need to meet. So it reduces the impulse purchasing purchases that you might have. Yes, as it is right now, we don't expect inflation to flare up.
Yeah.
But that notwithstanding, from the fact that you are putting your money is working for you, at the end of the day, you are better off. So yes, even if you say you get a 10% return after 1 year, and inflation, say, it remains stable, 5% inflation rate. So
yeah,
in net terms, after 1 year, at least that's a 5% real return, which is fairly better as compared to somebody who did not do anything. His money is held somewhere, has eroded the purchasing power. So you're better off investing. So people might be thinking that you need the 50,000 or 100,000 to start investing, but you can start as small. So let this not be a barrier that I need to be a millionaire to start investing. But even as low as 500 shillings, you can now be able to start the investing journey. It will help you to discipline and also to at least be able to reduce the eroded purchasing power that inflation, whatever it is, has on your money.
Great. Thank you very much, Churchill Ogutu, for being on the podcast. Thank you for dropping by as always.
Thanks.
And that has been Churchill Ogutu, economist, IC Asset Managers. And that has been another episode of Make Money, the podcast. And catch you on the next one. But before you go, as always, you can catch us at nation.africa, businessdayafrica.com, and across various platforms that you get your podcast from. That has been another episode of Make Money. My name is Kefa Muirore, and catch you on the next one.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.